Hello.
I'm white guy with glasses number two. You could have been up here if you responded to the casting call. Just wear a blazer, glasses, little beard. Okay, we're gonna start in James 1. All right, we're gonna look a little bit, I had no idea what Jesse was teaching on either, and these dovetail very nicely together, so that's good. God's cool, the way all this is fitting together. It's his word, right? But specifically the way things have flowed from one teaching to another has been pretty cool. We're gonna look a little bit about how continuing in the word and believing makes us free, okay? That's what frees us. James chapter 1, I need to get there myself. James after Hebrews. Okay, so you feel free right now? Feeling a little lighter? A little less bound, a little less weighty? It's because we've been continuing in the word. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye," what's that word? "Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." This word deceive is to miscount and then to deceive by false reckoning. If you're not a doer, it says here, if you're just a hearer, you're tricking yourself. You're miscounting. You're not doing it right. And then the false reckoning is going to deceive you. For in verse 23, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," like looking in a mirror, right? But they had like the brass things, right? Some of us know this, right? And they polished them. You couldn't see yourself so great, not like we have now, right? Maybe it was better, probably, right? "For he beholdeth himself, he goes his way," right? Check yourself out in the mirror, go your way. "And," what happens? "Straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know, we look at the word to see who we really are. When you look at this word, you should see you in here, right? When it says righteousness, it means you. One time, you ever do the thing with Ephesians when you put your own name in there instead of the other pronouns? It's pretty cool, right? If you haven't done that, it's cool. One time, Kyle and I ran out of gas in Patterson on the way to fellowship. So it was nicely delayed for us. But so we were sitting there, right, in a weird part of Patterson. And so we busted out the word, right? So we start doing the Ephesians thing, but I put Kyle and Patty, which was really cool too. And I would suggest this: if you're really angry at somebody, read Ephesians with their name in it. I've done that before. Or if you really want to help somebody, that's a cool thing too, see who they really are, right? But it's a mirror. It's really who we are, right? That's who we really are. And verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of" what? It's the perfect law of freedom. That's what this word is. "Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and does one thing" here, "continueth therein." Continues in it. We got to do that. If you continue in it and you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? You will be happy in the things that you do. The things that you do will bless you. And we all want to be happy, don't we? Who doesn't want to be happy? Literally no one, probably, right? You're probably insane if you don't want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. That's what people are looking for. And that's actually what the adversary uses to get people off the word. He makes them think other things are going to make them happy. Only one thing can make you happy, and that's God. And he gave us this word to facilitate that. We're going to go to John 8. That word "look" actually here, I forgot to do that. Still go to John 8, though. That word "look," it's actually to stoop down and look. Usually I flip a coin on the ground and make Quinn tell me what the year on the coin is, right? But it's looking real close, all right? It's not just glancing at something. It's stooping down and looking at something. And that's what we've been doing this weekend. We've been stooping down and looking. And like Jesse was saying before, we can do that at home. This is portable, right? It's like an iPad. Okay. Technology is really great. Don't listen to... No, I'm just kidding. All right. You know what I mean. Johnny, I have the Bible on my phone. It's crazy, though. I mean, it's really everywhere. You can use that for some cool things, but as long as it's the word, right? John 8, verse 31 says, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Maybe you know that if it's in red. Okay. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you..." Here's this word again. What? "Continue. If you continue in my word." So if, it's a condition. In my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then everyone knows this verse, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
But what comes before that? Continuing in the word. When we continue in the word, all right, then we know the truth. Because the word is what?
True.
Sanctify them through that truth, that word is truth. John 17:17, right? Okay, this word gnosko is know, okay? And it's not just knowing like, you know when somebody's like, do you know so-and-so? And you're like, I know them, but I don't know them, right? This is the second no. It's you know them, okay? It means that your hands are dirty in it. Through experience or effort, you get it, all right? So when we continue in the word, when we believe the word, does God come through? If we actually believe the word, does it come to pass? Of course it does. It always does, right? So then we know the truth. When we continue in it, when we believe it, we've seen that it works, and that is freedom. That makes you free. But you got to continue in it. We've heard a lot of word here. We have to continue in it. We feel free here. We can keep feeling free. You know, that's available. Go to, I can find it. Colossians. Go to Colossians. It says later on, and if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus Christ did make us free. If we go to Colossians here. Some of us have probably heard, you know, the liberty we have in Christ. We're going to look at that later. But the adversary really does want to put people in bondage. But he doesn't have any legal authority over us. If you go to Colossians 1, I don't know if I said 3, verse 13 says, who, and this is God, hath delivered us. He rescued us from the exercised power of darkness and translated us. He picked us up and moved us into what? The kingdom, coffee kingdom, of his dear son, right? He moved us into the kingdom of his dear son. In whom, in Jesus Christ, we have full payment. We were bought back through his blood, through what he accomplished, even the forgiveness of what? Are you forgiven? Is that freeing? Well, there you go. That's the foundation of this, isn't it? What Jesus Christ accomplished. That's the foundation of this. We've been bought back from the power of the adversary. He has no legal authority over your life or my life. If there's a devil spirit that's messing with you, you can tell it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ and doesn't have to listen to you. Yeah. That is true. That is power. And that's freedom, isn't it? That's freedom. Out of the kingdom of darkness, into a new kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. It's by grace. And it's because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And that's why we don't get into legalism either, which is another kind of bondage that the adversary tries to put us in. We don't have to do anything to make God like us more because he's never going to like us more. He likes us as much as anybody's ever liked us, ever, and ever will. His love knows no end. It can't be tainted, right? You can't make it bigger because it's the biggest force in the world. God loves us, right? And we're going to heaven. And nothing changes that either. Is that freeing?
Yes.
Maybe we should continue in that too. No legalism, but just like the other things of God, just like righteousness, sanctification, some of these other cool things we're going to look at in a sec, we have to, what do we have to do? Claim and walk out on them. We have to claim them and walk out on them. Can you be righteous and not act righteous? Can you be free and not act free? All right, well, we're going to see some ways maybe we get tricked out of this and maybe some ways to get back into it. We could walk right out now, right? Walk out from this advance, all this cool stuff, and do nothing with what we've heard. We could do absolutely nothing with what we've heard. Is that the liberty that Jesus Christ paid for? No, that's free will, right? You know who else has that? Unbelievers. You know how I know that? I've spoken the word to a few people in my life. Have you ever had spoken the word to somebody? They just keep walking, right? That's free will. That's not the liberty, right? That's not what Jesus Christ paid for. Everybody has that. That's nothing special, right? We're not talking about free will here. That already exists. We're talking about a freedom so big, the laws of physics don't even apply to us, right? Cast a mountain into the sea, is that freedom, right? The laws of physics, somebody could get healed immediately, is that freedom, you know? We're not bound by the rules of this world, the way that we're taught we are, day in and day out, but we have to continue in this to remind ourselves who we really are. what God's really made available to us. Go to 2 Peter. You know, we've got a new nature now, but we have to walk in that too, right? We still have an old man nature, and sometimes we have spiritual Stockholm syndrome. If you don't know what Stockholm syndrome is, it's very bizarre. It's this phenomenon where people that are hostages actually start to identify with their captors and even like help them and love them more than like the police that are trying to save them. Patty Hearst was like the most famous one, I think, right? This happens to people. It's like a real thing. I'm not even going to 2 Peter. What am I doing? We don't want to have spiritual Stockholm syndrome. We've been bought back. We got freed from that bondage. So we don't want to help the adversary out. We don't want to act like we're still in it. And this section in 2 Peter here, it's referring to these false teachers. There's some false teachers out there that at this time that were coming around. And in chapter 2, verse 18, talking about them, they're preying on the believers. And it says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity," right? It sounds good. It's this big puffed up thing. But vanity means there's nothing. Right? There's no substance to it. They speak these great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the what? The lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. These are believers that they're alluring. All right? They're people that were escaped from them that live in error. Right? And they allure through these lusts, through the desires of the flesh, through our old man nature, what we think will make us happy. Do you really know what will make you happy? If you don't say the word, you don't. We think we do sometimes. You ever have it like, okay, I'll use the iPad example again, right? You want the iPad for like a year, and all you can think about is the iPad. What happens when you get the iPad? Are you fulfilled? It's true of all the things of the flesh. No matter how badly we want it to fulfill us, it never will. And we keep going back to that well, and there ain't no water in there, right? There's water here. Verse 19 says, while they promise them what? See, it's going to look like freedom. It's going to look like freedom. They're going to promise you liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. That's the worsening. It's the being brought into a worse state. All right? For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in what? We got to remember that. What wins out in our hearts and lives, that's who we really serve. We got to ask ourselves who we really serve. There's a line, and on one side's not condemning yourself and being strong in the grace that God's given us. Are we forgiven from our sins? Yeah, right? We went over that. On the other side is having no respect for God and his word. We got to continue in this word. We're going to screw up. This isn't about screwing up, right? This is about what we serve. This is about what we think about, what Jesse was talking about, you know? This is about the God that Joe was talking about last night. Who do we serve? Is it us? Is it what we think we want? Because we're going to be miserable. We want to be happy, right? We already saw how to be happy. We continue in this word. So don't continue in that. And one of the worst things about sin is that it chains you to the physical. Doing things the adversary's way, doing things the world's way, chains you to the physical. The word brings us up into the spiritual. It brings us into that freedom where those rules don't apply to us anymore. Verse 20 says, "For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world, through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," these are born-again people, "they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the what?" That doesn't mean you don't go to heaven, but what's at stake is how good our lives can be on this earth. All right? Sin could still hurt us in this life, but only if we let it overcome us. Only if we let it overcome us. So let's go to James 1 again. We still have free will. Oh, actually, keep going to James 1. I'm going to read something to you. This is Bob read from some of this too. "Release from your prisons." If you haven't read this or if you haven't read in a while, do it again. Do it like once a week. All right, I'm just going to read this. A lot of this teaching came out of this, too. "If you want to get out of your prisons today, Immediately change your thinking about your situation. Change your subject of focus. As you change your thinking, you will draw a mental pattern for the things you do want to do in your life, which in turn will dispel and root out those things you do not want. You may say, well, that's not an easy thing to do, but I'm going to try it. With God's help, according to his word, I'm going to get out of this prison. However, if within half an hour you've forgotten to keep your thinking changed and you fall back into your old negative rut, you will be back living the same way you were before. Then don't wonder why you can't get an answer to prayer, why you cannot tap these resources, why the answer is not flowing as easily for you as it is for the others, why you cannot have your release. The answer is that you only momentarily changed your mental image. You did not keep your picture in focus and allow proper exposure time. We have to continue. I'm not there yet. James 1, verse 17 says, so here's how we can get out of this, all right? So the adversary is going to make us think we can make ourselves happy, or some other thing's going to make us happy, or being legalistic and acting like we're so great is what's going to make us happy, all right? But there's some things we need to recognize to get out of this kind of thinking. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from what? And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We need to recognize that there's a source for everything. All of our thoughts, all the things we see out there, all the information that Jesse was talking about, there's a source behind everything. All the good stuff comes from who? So where do we go to get the good stuff? You got to go to God, right? Fear and worry are from the world. If we have fear and worry, if you're in bondage, you're not serving God. You might feel like you are or look like you are, right? But that's the religion. The true service to God, that's what brings the good stuff, the perfect stuff. And in Ecclesiastes 1:9, it says, there's no new thing under the sun. Humans aren't, we're not creative beings. Here's what I mean by this. Try to think of a color that's never been invented. Go ahead. Right? Or like the one I used to do when I was little. I still do this. Try to think of like a brand new animal. Now you might think of something, but it's like a rhinoceros with octopus legs, right? It's like a combination of stuff that already exists, right? Or like it looks like a cube, right? Or whatever. Like you didn't make any of it up really, right? It's not new, it's just a combination of stuff. You know, if we want to get out of the way we think, we need to recognize that like what we think isn't so great a lot of the time. It's like, don't believe you. Like, you just got that from somewhere else. Like, it's like you just went to the store with a blindfold and grabbed a bunch of stuff, and you're like, no, I got the best stuff. It's like you didn't even look where you were grabbing, right? Who we serve, it's reflected in our actions, and our actions come from here, all right? And what's in here came from somewhere else. We need to look at what's in here, figure out what came from where we don't want to buy stuff anymore, and throw that stuff away. And we need to buy some new stuff. Well, Jesus Christ bought it for us, right? Just take it. It's the free store. Matthew 6, the only free store is God's store. Yeah, the liberty that Christ paid for is not the freedom to do whatever we want. I mean, we can, right? But real freedom is doing God's will, because that releases us from the chains of this world. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. All right, we think we read this before. For either he will hate the one, he'll love him less and love the other, or will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and the things of this world. And there's no third option. You know, and that's a trick too. It's like, I just do this for myself. No. Right? Like, yourself is like a bunch of, like, stuff from the world. Like, a bunch of, like, the adversary makes it look like, oh, there's a billion ways to be. There's a billion ways to do things, right? There's two ways to do things. There's God's way and there's the other way. You know, and Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps." You know, it's not in us. Don't look for it in here. I've been doing that for 27 years. You know, Jerry's been in the Word 42 years, right? I've been doing it wrong for 27 years. I can say with authority, just don't do that way. All right? And 1 Corinthians 1:30, and here's another thing we need to do. You have to serve something. Yep. There's no serving just you, right? That came from somewhere else. You serve God or you serve the world, and that's pretty much it. But 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." That is who you really are. That is who I really am. And probably the first thing we need to do is recognize our position in Christ. I was asking Jerry before about the four keys of renewed mind. And that's pretty much what this is. We continue in the Word, right? We read the Word. Oh, man, now I forgot the other one. What's the second one or the first one? Somebody? Recognize your position as sons of God. Live love. Practice the presence of God. Okay, cool. So anyway, we need to recognize our position in Christ. We need to recognize who we really are. And we are righteous. We are sanctified. We are redeemed. Go to Galatians 5. That's the foundation for our thinking. And then we live the Word. Galatians 5. We're almost done here. Are we going to take what we got and continue in it? We don't want to get talked out of this stuff. It matters. This is all, it's all real. You know? It's all real. People get healed. People get delivered. You know? It's a great life. You know? And serving God's great. It's like the best thing you can do. Galatians 5, verse 13. Actually, well, we'll read verse 1. I was referencing this before. "Stand fast, therefore, in the what? The liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's skip down to verse 13. Says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Just don't use it for an occasion to the flesh." Right? "But what? By love serve one another." You're free to serve God without worrying about yourself. Because he's going to take care of us while we do that. He's promised that. We are free to serve God, which is the best life there is. We use our freedom to serve God. And that doesn't make sense to people that don't get spiritual things. That might take a little while to realize that that makes sense. But true freedom is service. It's service to God. If you skip down to verse 22, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no what?" I want those things, don't you? That's the fruit of the Spirit. The adversary makes slaves. God makes sons, and then he offers them a job with a crazy signing bonus. Okay? We're going to heaven. We have all nine manifestations to operate anytime we want. And you know what? If we do get entangled with the things of the world, you know, if our lives end up worse, we just turn back to God. That's freedom too. And we don't have to do some ceremonial who's-he, what's-it, right? We just say, "I'm sorry." We just get our brains back where they need to be. We just start continuing in the Word again. And these are the wages that God pays when we're his servants. When we're his employees, right? We're in the family business. And we're going to close in 1 Timothy 4. "We have nothing to lose and everything to gain." And we can't get tricked into serving ourselves or serving the world again. And we can't get tricked into thinking that we have to do things to earn any of this stuff. That's all bondage. God's a God of freedom. Look at the source. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save," and that's "make whole yourself and them that" what? It matters that you do this too. It matters that I do it. It's not just for the special people. We're all supposed to be free, and we make ourselves whole, and we make other people whole when we walk out on this. People see the freedom. People see that we're not weighed down, and they want that. It's what everybody wants because everyone else is in bondage. We have the answers. And it matters that me, specifically Patty, does this. And you do this. It matters that we continue in God's word. Because there's stuff you can do that I will never be able to do. Ever. And there's stuff I can do that you can't do. We're all part of this body of Christ. And God's given us the keys to freedom. We just walk in the word. We just accept what God's given us freely and what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And we live a great life. Okay? That's what I want to share.
We're in good shape for the future. Those guys taught God's word really well, didn't they? We really could have gone home after the manifestations. Jeez, those were a knockout. Oh, thank you. It was really, really good. Boy, you guys did a good job. Daggone it. You know why a lot of you are so blessed? That's because of one of those verses that Patty read there at the end in Galatians 5:22. It's something that I like to think about a lot. What do people see when they see us? What they should see is love, joy, peace, gentleness, all those wonderful fruit of the Spirit. That's what people see when they see you. That's why when people come here from other places many times, and almost always, that's what they see. And that's inviting. I mean, the word blesses everyone too, but they see your life, and that it's not just words, it's life. Your fruit that you bear is very good fruit. And, you know, for me to say I'm proud of you sounds, I don't know, maybe that's egotistical, but I don't mean it to be. I'm just so proud to be able to stand with such a great group of believers. You are just God's magnificent masterpiece, and it's just a beautiful sight. And that's my pay. As far as I'm concerned, that's it, man, you. Your lives, your growth. And your struggles and deliverance. You know, you wait sometimes for years, decades for people to change, and then one day, who knows how, they get delivered, they change, and all is forgotten, all is forgiven, all is just a happy time. Our past, we can't do anything. We can't do anything about it. So keep it up. Go, team, go.